This is Great FM.
You know, the B in DEIB, which stands for belonging, has become a very important parameter to measure inclusivity and other DEI efforts in the workplace. So the question, do my colleagues feel like they belong here? I think that's the question everyone is asking right now. It's been the case this past year. And it's great because it speaks to the nuance to all of the initiatives that one may launch in their workplace and makes management take the idea of actually creating a safe workplace a lot more seriously. Now, this is somewhat of a baseline, but when you add another facet to the mix, which is the presence of immigrant members in an organization, belonging becomes imperative, not just an option. And given the environment that we live in today, both social and political, I think it's really valuable for HR professionals to take a step back and realize the effort that needs to be made in this area. And how doing it well, you know, creating that sense of belonging can be a catalyst for success to everyone and the organization. Welcome to Great FM, everyone. Ahalya here, and we're going to dive straight into this very exciting, layered conversation. We've got to break down a lot. And to help us do that is Sarah Aburi. Let me welcome her to the show. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Ahalya. Thank you so much.
So Sarah, just to set the stage, you know, you have had extensive experience in the world of HR spanning over 15 years now, more than a decade of work that speaks for you and your expertise. You've spearheaded many cutting edge human resource practices and policies. You've also paid very close attention to employee well-being, both during, before and after the pandemic. So thank you very much for being here with us today. You know, before we started it, Sarah did say she was awesome. I think it's true. She was also voted one of the top 20 HR leaders in the Middle East. So I think your insights are going to be very useful.
I hope so. Hopefully I'll be able to trick you into believing that too. But thank you so much. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Okay, wonderful. So let's get this conversation on the road. I think always good to start with the basics. After COVID-19 and the pandemic, we all returned to work and it did see a huge influx of immigrant employees joining workforces all over the world, right? There was migration in terms of within a country, different cities or different countries across continent. It happened for many different reasons. And I think it's important to see why. Right? Because when we're looking at understanding the reasons for this shift, maybe we'll be better equipped to actually cater to our immigrant colleagues' needs in the workplace. Why did they join where they work?
That's a great question. And I think the main reason for this influx of immigrant employees joining different industries in different countries mm-hmm. is because after the pandemic, we realized that we didn't actually have to physically be there at work. And so in that pandemic period, we were working with people all over the world and everything was pretty much being done virtually. And so I believe that a lot of the reasons why there was a lot more immigration was twofold. Number one is an open-mindedness from a company and a corporate perspective into wanting to accept talent from all over the world for a variety of reasons, either for diversity reasons or sometimes even cost-effective reasons. And then the second thing is from an employee perspective, they wanted to live somewhere where if another pandemic were to happen or another lockdown were to happen, they wanted to feel like they were somewhere safe, somewhere that was mm-hmm. handling the situation in a good way. And I saw a lot of employees leave their hometowns or their home countries and migrate to different areas simply because of the way that particular country, such as the UAE, for example, handled the pandemic.
That's a valuable distinction. Thank you for bringing that up. I think it also takes me to the next question, which is more from a communications perspective. Sarah, we've seen HR professionals over the many decades having to be sensitive, right, when it comes to communication. And as someone who has had the pleasure of having many conversations, I think that's one of the biggest areas that it's easy to mess up, right? Communicating DEIB. It's difficult to do that. Yeah. And when you add to that this nuance of communicating specifically to immigrant colleagues, is it more inclusive to not make that distinction in the first place? Or is it important to alter your messaging in the area of DEIB to immigrant employees so they feel more heard, more understood? This is a dilemma, I think, that can be applied to many different areas throughout history as well.
100%. That's a great question. I would say it's both. Everyone's common language is appreciation, empathy, decency, and just safety in general. So no matter where you're from, no matter what your religion is, no matter the color of your skin, your gender, whatever it is, those are the basics that any individual needs. When we are communicating with people, it's great if we know something about their cultures. I think that helps us connect with people quite quickly. And it's a trick that I use whenever I deal with colleagues from different cultures, is I try and either pronounce their name the way that it should be pronounced, or if I know important holidays in their countries. These are quick ways to connect to people and to connect to them quite soon. But inherently, this connection won't really mean anything if you're not appreciating them, if you're not letting them feel like they belong on a safety level, on an empathetic level, and if you're not taking care of their basic needs from a decency perspective.
Yeah, no, that is such a valuable point, because, you know, I think it also speaks to the larger context of DEIB, which is you can create the initiatives and you can implement them, but what is actually happening beyond that, right? And that also, I think, applies to the B in DEIB, which is belonging kind of seals the success of DEI being implemented in the workplace. If someone can feel like they belong, that's when, you know, I guess that you are successful, you know, to some measure.
Absolutely.
What you're doing. So that also begs the question, how do you rally non-immigrant members of the workforce? Luckily for us, Sarah, we're having this conversation in a time where, you know, it is of value to people, right? It is of value to care about other people and just be better human beings. But and it's of value to businesses and organizations. Like I said, it's not really an option anymore. It's kind of an imperative. So, but on the off chance that you're not very concerned, how does an HR professional rally an organization on a cultural level to care about each other and, as a result, care about immigrant members as well?
I really hope people will listen to this podcast, because I love these questions. My simple answer to that is you have to create your own culture in a company, no matter where you're from, no matter what your race, gender, religion, those things should not matter once you're in a company. Once you're in a company, you've migrated into that company, let's say, and you are now forming this company's culture and you're part of this company's culture. And so the most simple answer for me would be, you need to create a company culture and the values behind this company culture, or the competencies behind this company culture, that irrespective of where you're from, you can connect to these values and belong to this culture. And the most important aspect is not to distinguish between who's an expat and who's not an expat, but as much as possible to create a common language and a common purpose and a common value system that you can buy into, no matter what your position is in the company, no matter what your religion is in the company. Those things shouldn't matter.
They shouldn't. You're absolutely right. And I think we've seen the value of thinking that way and approaching business in that way as well. And to take that a step further, though, you know, while we sit and talk about the integration and belongingness of immigrant members of the workforce, there is unfortunately a longish list of some of the biggest disadvantages that they face, even in today's day and age. For example, you've got wage gaps, you've got limited access to opportunities, language barriers, right? So how can HR once again foresee these problems? And also, I don't think it would be fair to say that there is a handbook for DEIB. It's simultaneously something that comes naturally or doesn't, and also something that, you know, is new and it's evolving every day. So the issue with that is that if you try to learn as you go, you might actually cause damage over time. So how do you readily create an environment of belonging that someone can just, you know, very easily integrate themselves into?
Okay, so to break that down a little bit more, I'm going to use the UAE as an example, because this is predominantly where I've been for the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. And in the UAE, ironically, the minority culture in most companies are actually the locals, are actually the non-immigrants. And right now, there's this amazing initiative called Emiratization in the UAE, where private companies are trying to attract the local talent pool in order to join their companies, and they're facing issues in that sense. So let's separate local versus expat, and let's talk about minority groups, irrespective of where you are. I think that's more relatable to the audience because there's minority groups everywhere. Now, in my experience, what I've found is that with minority groups, they want a few things. The first, everyone wants a friend. Everyone needs companionship. We are social beings. Whether we like to admit it or not, we like to have a buddy. We like to have a friend at work. And 9 times out of 10, we prefer to have a buddy who's similar to us in some way. We like to stay in our comfort zone. Now, one of the ways that we can increase the sense of belonging for these minority groups in the company, irrespective of where they're from, is to make sure they have a buddy. Try and hire not just one colleague from a particular country, but try and hire 3 to 4 who also know each other. It helps with that belonging aspect. The other way is if you cannot, or if you don't have that luxury to be able to hire multiple buddies for employees, the other thing that you can do as an HR professional is to really understand the challenges that they're facing. So some of the challenges could be food. So if your company provides food, it could be one of the days, you know, providing something special from their particular hometown or country.
Right.
This makes them feel like, okay, you know, there's something there that we have. And the other aspect is having an open communication. So they're usually not here and they're here without their families. So we try as much as possible to make them feel less homesick. So either by creating a family environment or like a community, not really a family. I don't like to call a company a family, but a community environment within the company that can support them in the absence of their family. Or on the other hand, providing them the resources so that they can talk to their families if they're abroad. So data packages, internet packages. So these are some of the small initiatives that we've done or that I've done in my career.
Wow. Sarah, the simplicity and accessibility of these initiatives, yet the beauty of them is really striking to me because it is often the smallest things that do connect us, right? And that do make us feel safe. And it doesn't have to be these large multi-million dollar sort of initiatives that are very showy, but eventually have no impact. I think that's such an eye-opening and wonderful response. Thank you for that.
It's amazing. Food is the common language of the world.
I agree. People say music is the universal language. And I'm like, no, are you seeing the music that's out there these days? I think it's food. Let's just say that. but you've given us a lot of green flags, I think, just to throw in some Gen Z language. Now, when we talk about red flags, are there any major red flags that HR professionals need to keep a look out for so that I think you can avoid the workplace from, you know, becoming unsafe or uncomfortable and hostile environments, you know, catch it before it's too late?
Yes, absolutely. There are a lot of red flags that more red flags than green flags. I didn't even know green flags was a thing. Thanks for introducing me to Gen Z language. But in terms of red flags, there are so many. And unfortunately, we tend to dismiss them or not even pay attention to them because they've become so normal sometimes in our day-to-day lives. And most of the times, these red flags come in the form of jokes or sarcasm. And this is, I really feel like sarcasm or teasing, this is sometimes one of the worst forms of, it's kind of like an insidious red flag because you're teasing someone for, let's say you tease someone for having, you know, a particular shoes that are traditional to their country. And so you tease this person, everyone around you laughs, but that impact that teasing has on that individual, sure, they might laugh, they might join in, but you're not letting them be who they are or be who they want to be. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the biggest red flag that HR professionals need to look out for is when people start to make fun of colleagues and not with bad intentions, but this teasing aspect sometimes can make it normal. The other red flag for HR professionals from a belongingness perspective, because what is belongingness? Belongingness is the ability to just be who you are. You know, if you're having a bad day, the ability to come into work and be able to say, I'm having a bad day, and not be judged for it, and not be called emotional for it, and not be, you know, called a slacker for it. So it's, can you be exactly who you need to be at the time that you are? That's true belonging. And a lot of the times we try and mold people to be who we want them to be through either job descriptions or KPIs or whatever it is. So the other thing that we need to watch out for as HR is, are we giving employees the freedom to be who they want to be? If they're having a bad day, are we letting them talk about it? Do we know what keeps them up at night? Do we know their biggest fears when it comes to losing their jobs? Until we understand the reasons why people are working and the reasons why they cannot afford not to work, we don't really know our colleagues. And unfortunately, too many HR people don't know their customers. The employees are their customers. And when they don't know what's keeping my customers up at night, what's demotivating my customers, that's the biggest red flag. So I would really urge all HR professionals of all levels in the organization, know your customers, understand what's making them upset, understand what's making them motivated, and use these things in order to either reduce their stress or increase their motivation.
Yeah, no, again, such a beautiful response. I think it's eye-opening when you look at, you know, infusing a workplace with just a little bit of humanity, a little bit of empathy, and the magic that can happen from that. And I honestly think this has been a very eye-opening conversation, more to the effect of understanding the tiny things you can do as an HR professional on a daily basis. And I think that's what makes or breaks culture, right? Those small things every day that are accessible to everybody. Thank you so much for your time, Sarah. But before we let you go, if there are three ways to be sensitive with immigrant colleagues and actually make a change in the workplace, what would those be? I'm going to hand the mic over to you now.
Mike accepted. Thank you so much. I'm going to turn it into minority colleagues because I don't think there should be a distinction. My go-to or the thing that I use in order to be sensitive with my customers and understand my customer needs is very simply, I ask them. So I'm curious about why they come to work. I'm curious about why they stay at work, why they still stay in the company, why they enjoy being in the company. I'm also curious about what they don't like about the company. I'm actually more curious about that than all of the other things, because what they don't like are things that we can change. And so my one advice to increase sensitivity when dealing with all types of colleagues in the workforce is, first of all, to ask them, what can we do to make your life better? And then not just asking them what we can do, but listening and then actioning what you can do. I'll give you a small example. When I first joined Ras Al Khaimah Tourism in 2019, I had one-on-ones with every single one of the employees just to find out the reality is that yes, the employees definitely will always want more money and they definitely want career growth. But the pressing matters that are bothering them right there, right then, if you ask them about the top five things you want them to, or you, they would like you to change immediately, it's rarely money. It's usually things like, we'd love chai karak machine, you know, or, hey, let's have casual Fridays, or it would be great if we could have one day work from home. And these are small wants that a company can most definitely provide. The problem is we don't ask. And so without asking, we're not sure what to provide. So my biggest piece of advice at this point is ask your customers what they want from you. Listen to what they want from you and listen from a place without judgment. Don't get upset. Don't feel like you're a bad HR person. Just listen without judgment to either yourself or to them. And action, whatever you can action, action it and action it quickly, because people will feel like someone's listening to me. And that feeling that I'm being listened to, I'm being heard, and I matter, that's the best way to increase belonging in any type of organization, relationship, whatever it is. That's the basics that you need.
Wonderful, Sarah. I think the word for today's conversation is really just eye-opening. Thank you so very much for giving us your time and for shedding a light on the language that we should probably be speaking, the things we can do to create a more inclusive and belonging environment. This has been a wonderful episode of Great FM with you.
Absolutely. Me too. I really, really enjoyed this. Thank you for this opportunity.
This is Great FM.